This is part two of our finale, season four finale, and what way to end season four with the NBA playoffs. This is Stacey on Sports SOS podcast show with your main host, Stacey Carter II, and returning for the season finale, the Matt Huff. Matt, are you feeling that the Nuggets gonna defend their title?
I'm feeling pretty good. I have faith in Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter, and Aaron Gordon. Can't leave him out either.
Right. Definitely going to be an interesting tale. Going to talk about it. So first, we're going to talk about each matchup in the rounds that are set now. Going to start with the West and then go to the East. And then we're going to round the episode off by talking about the play-in games, which for some reason is still happening. I still can't stand the play-in, but it is what it is. All right. Let's start with the Western Conference. Right now, we got two matchups already set waiting on the other two, with the Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder awaiting the winners of the play-in. We each going to take one matchup, break it down, give our keys for both teams, say the winner, and in how many games. So, Matt, which Western Conference playoff matchup first round did you select to talk about?
So I'm paying a lot of attention to that Clippers-Mavericks first round. We know these two teams have a history with each other. Every time the Clippers always seem to just sneak by in the past, but I don't know about this year if they're going to be able to get away with that despite all the star power in this whole series. I read somewhere today, I think between the two teams, there's like a crazy amount of all-star appearances combined with all the stars. I think it's like close to 50 or 60 combined all-star appearances when you got the four former all-stars on the Clippers, and then you obviously got Luka and Kyrie on the Mavericks. The way that Luka is playing this year, though, I don't know if they're going to be, if the Clippers are going to be able to, you know, sneak by this time, because health is always such a concern for that team, despite how loaded they are. That age and that health always seems to come up in the at the worst opportune times for them. And we also know Paul George and James Harden, can they show up in the playoffs when it matters the most? The Mavericks, ever since they retooled that roster at the trade deadline, you added players like PJ Washington. They've looked at like a different animal in the second half of the season. They were a little too reliant on the three-point shot at the beginning. Now you're getting more lob opportunities with Luka distributing with to guys like, you know, Derek Lively, who has had a very good rookie season. So with all of this in mind, I'm actually going to go with the Mavericks taking the series in seven.
Ooh, the Mavericks in seven. This is a tough one to pick because Luka always give the Clippers hell. Mm-hmm. But I think the Clippers roster now is made to go to the NBA Finals. Finally, I mean, when you have Kawhi Leonard healthy, Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Zubac been there for a number of years, Norman Powell, it's hard to ignore that. I mean, but then again, the Mavericks is like, they reach that point. It's like, y'all got to do something because Luka might step out.
He might dip, but yeah.
Yeah, then, you know, you only got Kyrie for another couple of years. You got to, I don't know who to pick for that one.
Yeah, that one is one of those coin toss type of series.
Right. For the Clippers' For the Clippers' sake, I'm going to go with the Clippers because y'all can't go into y'all new arena later on this year with Bruno Mars opening up the arena and on a losing path. I can't do that. But I think it's going to be seven games. I think it's going to be a crazy, like, hard-fought series.
I just have a hard time trusting James Harden and Paul George to a smaller extent. Because, yeah. I mean, we've seen history consistently repeat itself with those two players.
Right. But I will say this time for James Harden, he is not the focal point of the team. He is not the offense. He's not going to take all those shots. Got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who are much more efficient. Yeah. So I think, you know, this is the first time that he's going to the playoffs like that, where he's not the man. So, like, that'd be nice to see. I think it'll work out for him.
Yeah.
Also, to a certain extent, Russell Westbrook, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. For the second set matchup, I have the Suns versus the Timberwolves. Interesting matchup here. For the Suns, I think their depth will be tested. We all know about their quote-unquote big three, Bradley Beal, KD, and Devin Booker, but it's going to be up to the other guys to hold their weight to carry some of that burden. Like Yusef Nurkic, who's been in the playoffs before, who's battle-tested. You got Isaiah Thomas on the roster now. You got some veteran guys, but, you know, they have to do their part. They have to do their part in order for this team to win, because the Timberwolves cause a matchup problem for a lot of people. And they got a lot of people that they can throw at them, you know, outside of Cat and Ant. You know, you have Naz Reid, who's been coming up there. Everybody's giving him his respect. And they got other players. I think they still got Mike Conley, right? Mike Conley, consummate professional, consummate pro. Been there, done that as well. So the Suns' depth will be tested not only in this round, but throughout the playoffs. So I'm going to be looking out for that. And also, to a certain extent, the health of Bradley Beal, because I know Devin Booker is going to shine. KD is going to be KD. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bradley Beal, if they want to go far, it got to be a big three. And Bradley Beal, even though that's my boy from St. Louis, you know, he's the weakest out of the bunch. And he hasn't been to the playoffs all that much, because we all know by his stint with the Wizards. So if he holds up, you know, that depth holds up with Nurkic and Grayson Allen, who's just signed a contract extension, they'll be fine in the series. For the Timberwolves, two things. One, has their IQ gotten better? Because when they lost in the playoffs, and I still remember that series against the Grizzlies a couple years ago, they were much more talented than the Grizzlies. They had them on the ropes, but it was just making dumb mistakes. And let's see if they grown from that. I mean, they position themselves well in the West. They're the third seed. So, you know, they are improving, but, you know, you're going against a team who has veterans. Two of the top three been in the NBA Finals. When the team is focused on you, it's a whole different beast. Instead of, you know, you face them one week and you probably won't see them again for the rest of the month. So that IQ got to be there. And also Cat's health, his impact. When he's there, it makes all the difference. He wasn't there for a long time, and the Timberwolves are kind of middle of the pack in offense. Even though their defense is ranked number one, overall offense got to step up. And Cat going to have to lead the way. You know, he had his struggles. But when Cat is great, Cat is great. I've seen it. So if he's on, that's going to uplift the rest of the team, because if he's not there, you can't depend on Rudy Gobert. Ant still, you know, he's still working on, you know, being efficient. Yeah. But even though he's a monster. And and then, you know, Mike Conley, who's aging. And then, you know, the rest of the players are kind of like offensively not the greatest offensive players in their rotation. The rest of their
pieces.
Yeah, they're more defensive pieces. Like I said, Naz Reid, and then you got McDaniels, you know, they're more defensive players. Kyle Anderson, who's, you know, been in the league for quite a while. So those are the keys for both teams. Now for the winner, this was tough. The Timberwolves, like I said, number one defense. The Suns' offense haven't been like what I thought it would be, but hey, you got two of your top three players on the other side of 30 with a lot of mileage on their body. Yeah. I picked the Suns in seven.
Yeah, I got the Timberwolves in six, actually. I think one thing that throws me off about the Suns is they were the worst fourth quarter team in the league. That when you got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal on your team, there is no excuse for being that bad in the fourth quarter. And another thing is I'm glad you brought up the IQ point with the Timberwolves to kind of piggyback off that point. I feel like this is going to be kind of a chess game between the two coaches this series. This is going to be a series of matchups. You know, can that front court of Gobert and Kat, you know, somewhat contain KD and Nurkic and whatnot, you know? And another thing is like, is Grayson Allen's hot shoot? I believe he had the highest 3-point shooting percentage this year in the whole league. Is that going to be able to sustain come playoff time, because we know the playoffs are a whole nother animal, and you're going up against the number one defensive unit in the league. And, you know, as a Nuggets fan, we played the Timberwolves first round last year. Everyone thought Bruce Brown was crazy for saying the Timberwolves gave them their hardest battle. They did. Anthony Edwards, he's got next, you know, he really does. So I expect a big series out of Ant. Cat, we know, as long if he's healthy, we know what he can do as a 3-point shooter, as a big man too. He can stretch that floor and allow Gobert to kind of operate around that paint and as a rim protector. So, I get the appeal of the Phoenix Suns, especially with Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant's got a little bit of pressure coming into this playoffs as well, in my opinion. What has he proven ever since he's left Steph Curry and company? And you had good teams. You had good teams in Brooklyn, you know what I mean? And you had a good team last year. So Kevin Durant, I'm also kind of looking at you. Can you, you know, will your team do a deep playoff run without that mega team in Golden State? So, but I think this is a little bit of a matchup nightmare for Phoenix, and the way that Minnesota has been playing this year has been inspired. So I've got the Timberwolves in six.
I was going to bring that up too. When Kevin Durant first got traded to the Phoenix Suns and then they got Bradley Beal, I was like, okay, y'all have to win. Like, there's no excuse. You got three great scorers who get 20, 25 any night. You got to go far. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they sacrificed a lot of depth. But
yeah, and don't really have that floor general now without Chris Paul either.
Right, right. And then also there'll be a key for the Timberwolves turn Devin Booker into a passer.
Mm-hmm.
And come pass the ball, because, you know, I'll be good with, I got to live with KD getting whatever.
Right, he's going to get his 25, 30 no matter what.
Yeah. And then Bradley Beal, I can stop Bradley Beal. Mm-hmm. No, just don't let him get hot. But if Devin Booker and KD going off, can't stop that.
Yeah, you can live with someone like Grayson Allen. If Grayson Allen burns you for 20 and you shut down one or two of those stars, you just got to live with that. But I'm not letting that big three torch me.
Right. And then as far as matchup, interesting that you say that. The Timberwolves face the Suns three times this year. Mm-hmm. Lost all three.
Yeah. Just happened.
So, you know, for Timberwolves have a great season. When you match up, maybe defensively they can't match up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, because the last game, like we just said, they lost 125 to 106.
Mm-hmm. They did almost come back. I was paying attention to that, because they were down by like almost 30 at one point. So I will give them that.
So, you know, I always look at that as some sort of indication of how the series going to go when I, you know, pick the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, sometimes you got to look deeper because players might not have been there and stuff like that. But still, you know, the Suns 3-0 against Timberwolves, who are number one in defense. And
yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Timberwolves won.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. All right, that was the Western Conference. Well, at least half of it, because the damn play-in. So let's go to our rapid fire segment, where I just came up with three random questions. Matt don't know what I'm about to ask. Always love messing with people's minds and see where their mind is at. Matt, are you ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
All right. Question number one. I know you a Nuggets fan. Mm-hmm. I know you a Nuggets fan. But the Celtics been the best team in the league all year. Are the Celtics the outright favorites to win the finals?
Yes. You don't win 64 games and not be the outright favorites. And they have arguably the best starting five in the league. And you still get a solid veteran coming off your bench in Al Horford. You're extremely well coached. You had, I believe, what was it, the number two or number three defensive unit in the league. So, yes, you've earned the right to be the outright favorites.
Yeah, I think they're outright favorites, too. I think they have arguably the best roster in the NBA. Then when you get Jrue Holiday, and then you are able to give him an extension.
Speaker trade.
Yeah, and then Porzingis is healthy.
Yes, that's the huge thing.
Porzingis is healthy. That's great. That's great for them. I think they are the outright favorites right now. And then I will put, your Nuggets number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, because playoff, we all know about playoff Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff Murray, the legend.
Yes. And Jokic almost damn near averaged a triple-double in the playoffs all of last. So, I mean, hard to top that.
Yeah, it's hard to top that. He's a different beast, too. Yes. Number two, the Knicks are the number two seed. Mm-hmm. Now, on this podcast, last episode, we said that the Knicks could possibly climb to 2 or 3, and that'd be a great path for them to reach the Eastern Conference. Now, that's an actual thing that is real. That's the 2 seed. Can the Knicks, minus Julius Randle, make the Eastern Conference Finals?
I believe yes, but any further than that, I am not willing to go further than the Eastern Conference Finals, and there's got to be a lot of things that fall into place for them. Like, it depends on if they get past the first round, who they match up with. That'll tell me a lot if they can get to the conference finals, but I'm also looking at the way Jalen Brunson is playing right now. He looks like a player who has no fear, and, you know, him and his Villanova crew, DiVincenzo, and who's the other one I'm trying to think of?
Josh Hart.
They've formed a terrific trio, not necessarily big three, you know, but like Josh Hart and DiVincenzo, they're terrific, you know, auxiliary players to have on your team. Josh Hart, he's, you know, kind of like your good, a solid 3-and-D guy who can fit into any system. And then you got Jalen Brunson taking in the majority of the offensive load, which has just worked out perfectly for the Knicks so far. So even without Julius Randle and the way that the Knicks are coached by Tom Thibodeau right now and the hot streak they're on, I could see it.
I could see it too. I don't think it's a far-fetched idea. They've been playing great even without Julius Randle. Obviously, they climbed up to number two. They were number four like just a week ago. I think they do have a shot. I do think there's bus stops with the Celtics. If the Celtics are in the Eastern Conference Finals, if the Celtics Knicks, I'm picking the Celtics. But it's still a great run for the Knicks. Bonus question. My coworker asked me about this. Shout out to Melvin. He asked, since the Knicks are reaching number two seed and they reached the conference finals without Julius Randle, does this spell the end of Julius Randle?
It's funny. I was about to ask you, do you think losing Julius Randle is kind of addition by subtraction?
Oh.
Because I don't know. I mean, the numbers are kind of indicating they're a little better without him.
Yeah. You
know, allows Brunson to officially be that number one option and the main scorer. And then you allows the other role players like Josh Hart to thrive. So I don't know. And Julius Randle, he's just always been one of those weird anomalies in the NBA to me. He's an all-star. We know he's great. But yet at the same time, when we're talking about, you know, a top 25 player in the league, do we really think of Julius Randle? So, you know, it's hard to say as of right now, but I think how far the Knicks will go will really determine his future with that organization.
Plus, like you mentioned with Jalen Brunson, if Jalen Brunson plays well, then, he might get traded.
Yeah.
He might get traded.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, man, Julius.
Yeah, get some more pieces to surround Brunson with. I mean,
yeah. All right, we'll see what happens with the Knicks. I'm pretty sure it's going to be exciting either way. Number three, last question. As a Nuggets fan, in the Western Conference, which team is giving you nightmares of a possible matchup? Like, who are you nervous about in the West as the Nuggets defend their title?
The team we just talked about, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, really?
Every time we played that team this year, it was a dogfight. And they also just posed the biggest matchup problem for us with their size in the front court and whatnot. And Stacey, as a Lakers fan, no, that's kind of how you can somewhat slow Jokic down. That's what the Lakers did in the bubble. They had Dwight Howard, they had Anthony Davis, they had JaVale McGee. You look at the Timberwolves. They've got Rudy Gobert. They've got Cat they can throw at him. They even got, you know, Nikhil Alexander Walker and, you know, Kyle Anderson. Jaden McDaniels has enough length to at least just make life and living hell for our offense. So, you know, I'm looking at that team, you know, and I know a lot of people are saying, you know, why aren't you saying Oklahoma City? Well, that team has, Oklahoma City is still very young to me, whereas the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'm glad you brought Mike Conley earlier, it's almost like they've got the perfect mix of youth and veteran leadership. So I would have to go with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but a close second I would say is your Lakers, because you never doubt a LeBron James-led Lakers team, or any LeBron-led team, I should say, for that matter. And, you know, even though we did sweep the season series, each game was pretty close, and we always played each other tough. So, unfortunately, that was my conference finals prediction at the beginning of the year, but we got the play-in tournament, unfortunately.
Lakers. Well, I did talk to my coworker about this. Again, shout out to Melvin. I was like, if you want to beat the Nuggets, you cannot throw two people at once on double team Jokic. Try to get the ball. I was like, you got to play. You got to live with whatever happens one-on-one. Whatever happens, live with that.
And if you get 40, you can live with him getting 40. But
right. Because I always said, you got to stop Jokic from passing. And yeah, getting that offense going.
Yes.
And like you said, the Timberwolves. And like you said, the Timberwolves, they just have the team to do it. Now, it's just all about the X's and O's. That's what it's all about.
It's the thing we have over them, I will say, is we've been there, done that now. They haven't yet. So, you know, we'll see when it gets to the nitty gritty what happens, but.
Right. All right. That was the end of the rapid fire session. Now, let's focus in on the two matchups in the Eastern Conference. Matt, what's the playoff series that you're looking at right now?
I'm very intrigued by Orlando and Cleveland. Two defensive-minded teams with quite a bit of star power, actually. Shout out Paolo Banchero and the Orlando Magic, who I predicted at the beginning of the season they would be the surprise team to make the playoffs out of nowhere.
Good job.
Go back and rewind the tape. I did say that. But I love the way the Magic have been patient with their roster, and they've constructed this like really gritty defensive team. And they are, sidebar, they're the only team that swept the season series with my Denver Nuggets this season. So, you know, kudos to them, you know, and plus, you know, shout out Gary Harris, Nuggets legend. But I love the way Banchero has developed his overall game. Not to mention you got the Wagner twins, and then Jalen Suggs is a scrappy perimeter defender. And then, but then on the other side, you got the Cleveland Cavaliers, who will, you know, have something to prove after choking in the playoffs last year in the first round. You know, in Donovan Mitchell, this is kind of a prove it year for him. If you think about it, it's like you look at Mitchell. It's like, okay, you've had plenty of time to, you know, learn and adapt to the playoff atmosphere. It's time. And you've got, you know, four all-stars technically on that Cleveland roster with Mitchell, Mobley, Allen, and Darius Garland. And, you know, but this is going to be a defensive slugfest, which I love. I believe I saw that the Cavaliers were 14-0 when holding an opponent under 100 points this season. You know, Orlando was close to that. I think they only lost like two times holding an opponent to 100 points or less. So, you know, I'm going to give the edge just from experience and star power to Cleveland, just because I think Orlando's a little inexperienced coming into this playoffs with that young roster. And I feel like Cleveland knows they've got to rectify what happened last year. And at the end of the series, it's going to come down to, you know, having a guy like Donovan Mitchell on your team. But so I got Cleveland in seven, but I feel like each battle is going to be a very hard fought battle that, you know, we are going to see a lot of like 100-98 final scores.
That's what's going to be my point about the Cavaliers. They do have to make up for what happened last year when they lost to the Knicks in the first round. They're under a lot of pressure, like you said. Not only Donovan Mitchell, who people was playing with the idea of trading him. Crazy trade. Somebody, I forgot what it was. Somebody said, maybe you should go Donovan Mitchell for LeBron. I'm like, okay. I don't think that's going to work, but okay. But yeah, nonetheless, you know, it's out there. And then also that coach, Bickerstaff, JB. under a lot of pressure. I was seeing trending topic, fire JB. So if they lose to the Magic in the first round, he's out of there.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you bring, if Donovan Mitchell wants to come back at that point, will he move on somewhere else? And then, I mean, Cavaliers still going to have good players on their roster, but they're going to be sliding backwards a little bit if they don't get out the first round at least. Then you got the Magic, who Magic had nothing. Well, they got the series to lose, but in the sense of life, they got nothing to lose here because nobody really expects them to be here. They have been improving. I thought that it was going to prove too, but I didn't see their fifth seed, right? I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that high up a climb, but I think it's great. I've always was a believer in Paolo Banchero.
Mm-hmm.
Wagner's constantly been a surprise. He's not taking anybody's spot surprise anymore, but just great player. They got good guards. But I'm picking the Cavaliers to win just because experience. I think they're going to win in five games. The Magic, I think it's going to be a hard-fought five. It's not going to be like what we used to seeing in the Magic playoffs when they go against the Bucks and stuff, where they win that one game. I think just because Cavaliers got something to prove and they got to make something happen, I'm picking them to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I got the Pacers and the Bucks. For the Pacers, they do got some lack of experience in the playoffs and with some players, but I'm going to be looking at Pascal Siakam, who they acquired this season, to be that leader when it comes down to it. We all know Pascal Siakam was key in their championship run, you know, back in 2018-2019. And he's going to have to use that to fuel the team. Of course, Tyrese Halliburton going to have to continue his great play, been great this year. Then you got players like Miles Turner, who, you know, hasn't really had that much playoff experience. Then you just go on down the line. It's the same thing. Run with the Milwaukee Bucks. They're a little long in the legs. Surprisingly, the Pacers offense is number one in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they're number one in shooting percentage, like 50%. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then to average 120 plus points with that, like, that's great. And the Bucks gonna have to keep up with that. Can they do it? I'm be looking at two things. First, Doc Rivers, can you actually coach? It's already out there. You've been questionable coach. You got another good team here who's a champion. You got champions up and down the roster. You got Dame Lillard. Can you put those X's and O's together? Because you're not really supposed to lose to the Pacers. Even though this year, the Pacers been a thorn in the Bucks' side. No matter who was the coach, I think they faced each other three times and Pacers won all three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Doc Rivers got it. Everybody going to be looking at you. And then, of course, the health of Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be healthy. He's doubtful for game one. I don't know how this is going to play him throughout the series, if he's going to play at all. If I'm the Pacers, since he's doubtful for game one, which means he might. There's a great chance he's not going to play. I have to win game one. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let that opportunity slide by. Because without Giannis, if Giannis is not going to be in the series, I don't see the Bucks winning.
Right.
Because, I mean, of course, you know, you got Dame time, but is Dame time the same Dame we've been seeing?
Getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, and speaking of long in the tooth, Chris Middleton played this year. It hasn't been there for real. Then can you rely on somebody like Brooke Lopez to carry you offensively? I don't think so. So it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be an interesting tale if the Bucks lose in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
See there what's going to happen.
It's coming.
Yeah, it might be changes coming. And I actually got them losing. I got the Pacers in six. Upset.
That's my exact prediction, too.
Really?
I'm just looking at the offensive numbers that you mentioned for the Pacers, and I look at the way the Bucks have played. It's been so inconsistent ever since they got Doc Rivers, and I just feel like I still think it was a terrible decision making that head coaching change middle of the year when you had really no reason to make a coaching change like that.
Right.
So, you know, being a little superstitious here, I also feel like, you know, the basketball gods are keeping that on their mind, you know, and they will get back at you for that. And I'm also like, you know, like you said, it's like, as great as Damian Lillard is, it's like, I mean, I think he shot, what was it, like 2 for 14 in the final regular season game. That's not Damian. Yeah, I know it's last regular season game. They probably weren't trying very hard, but still, you know, and it's like, if Giannis is out, it's like, Dame, you're the man. You've got to be able to carry that team. And I just don't know if I have faith in you right now. You know, and the Bucks, like I said, it's like, the numbers I'm looking at for the Pacers offensively are just insane. You know, they don't have any like names that jump off the page to you like the Bucks do, but they still got plenty of good talent and a good collection of all-stars with Halliburton and Siakam and whatnot. So I think the Pacers are really kind of built to win a first round matchup against these guys.
Yeah. It's almost kind of like no excuse for the Bucks. Because, yeah, you're not going to have Giannis probably game one. Mm-hmm. But Dame Lillard is Dame Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's used to having those. Yeah, he's used to having this type of team mm-hmm. where he's the main guy. Then you got a bunch of players getting in where they fit in. And they were champions not too long ago. Still got the same guys. It's just the coach is different. And I just don't believe in the coach when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
So if they get in a tight situation, I don't know if Doc Rivers is going to press the right buttons to get them out of it.
We've already seen what he does up 3-1.
I mean, 3-1 three times, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that might be a surprising answer to some, but I can kind of see it.
Yeah. It's like, this is one of those series that won't surprise me either way. Because if Milwaukee, it's like, well, they have the star talent, they should have won.
Right. And then if they have Giannis there for at least game two to whatever the closeout game, I mean, it's Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Giannis. But all right.
Indiana is kind of built to beat them. Like you said, they had plenty of success against them in the regular season.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Can Pat Bev shut down Halliburton? We'll see. Yeah. All right. So last segment to round off the show. Of course, people, we got the play-in tournament. We got four games on tap to determine the 7 and 8 seed. So we can round off the playoff picture. We're going to go through each matchup and just give our winner who's going to win the game. First, let's talk about the first game. The Lakers are going against the Pelicans. Lakers are 7 seed. Pelicans are 8. Who's going to win this game?
I'm going to go to the Lakers. I can't bet against LeBron and AD in this type of situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Even though this is a situation where if you lose, you still got another chance, I'm not taking that chance. Yeah. People were saying, like, should they try to avoid the Nuggets and go with the easier matchup, quote unquote, with the Oklahoma City Thunder? No, you cannot take that chance.
There are no easy matchups anymore at this point.
No, no, it's not. You got to, whatever your path is, you just got to take it. You got to knock off the defending champs.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and then you're just going to face them at some point. Might as well get rid of them early. You can. So, So I got the Lakers winning that too. All right. Game number two. We got the Warriors going against the Kings. Who you got for that?
I got Sacramento. I think they've got a chip on their shoulder after losing to the Warriors last season.
Yeah. I'm disappointed in the Kings. The Kings king this year. They're not supposed to king. I thought that was over with. And then I was retiring the phrase, the Kings gonna king. I was very surprised they were a playing team after last year that was third seed, something like that. With all the talent that they have, it's like, damn, if I'm better against Steph, am I going against Steph? But I want the Kings to win, so I'm going for the Kings.
Yeah. The Warriors, they haven't shown me enough to trust them this year.
Yeah, but sometimes they pull a magic trick out and win the game.
But it's like, outside of Steph this year, who can you really trust on that team?
Right. Right. Even though sometimes Klay can have that sneaky game, Wiggins can have that sneaky game. You know, Kuminga been doing well, but
to the same token, is Draymond going to go crazy and stomp? Klay going to have an off night? That he does have those now. You know,
yeah, he does. But you know, you just go by history sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you that's know true. It's coming. But I got the Kings that one. All right, third one. We got the Heat going against, surprisingly, the 76ers in a play-in. Who you got for that one?
I got Miami. I can't bet against playoff Jimmy. And it's nothing against Embiid, by the way, who has been playing very well since he got back. I said it. But I feel like Miami knows this is the time of year to turn it on. You know, and playoff Jimmy is just a different animal. You know, and they're pretty familiar with the 76ers. So I'm going for the Heat for this matchup.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I just think the 76ers roster is much better than it was last year. And the reason why they're in this spot, because Embiid just wasn't there.
Yeah.
But when Embiid healthy, hopefully Tyrese Maxey, because he was going through some little trouble. Then you got, you know, Buddy Hield, Oubre. I'm going with the 76ers.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they just got a little bit too much talent for the Heat. And I'm taking, but I think the Heat going to, if they lose, I think they're going to beat the winner of this matchup, the last one, the Hawks versus the Bulls. Matchup for the low.
Man.
You got for this?
Oh, God. I don't even know. Atlanta, what was it? I saw something earlier this season. They were like literally the definition of mid. They had like gone 500 in like their last 700 matchups or something like that. But at the same time, Chicago, it's like nothing about them is sexy. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, yeah, DeMar DeRozan is great. So is Zach LaVine. Vucevic has been an all-star a couple times. We know Caruso's a great point of attack defender, but
that Kobe White has improved this year.
Yes. You know, so I mean that the roster is just kind of janky. You know what I mean? So if I'm going, since this is okay, I'm going to say the Hawks for this one game, but if this were a series, I would go Chicago. But for this one game, I think Trae Young can get hot for just one game and will them to this win.
Really? I think if this was a series, I would pick the Hawks.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I would pick the Hawks. I'm picking the Hawks to win this game too. I just think, you know, you got Trae.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, been in this situation. Then I'm just real surprised and disappointed to how bad the Hawks have been. You know, and it's been some things going around. Do you keep DeJounte Murray or do you keep Trae Young? Mm-hmm. It's like,
you might have to trade both of them, really.
I wouldn't do that because I need one of them there.
But are they going to want to stay there is the question.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm going to be honest. At this point, I would keep DeJounte Murray.
Yeah. I keep seeing Trae to the Spurs with Wemby talks. That would be a movie to see.
No, that would be great. That would be great. Cause I ain't think the Spurs would be that bad this year.
Oh, they're coming.
They're awful. Yeah. Oh yeah, Wemby's crazy.
Yeah. My Nuggets better take advantage of this window before he hits his prime. I'll say that.
Right. And pull a lot of them on that team hit their prime.
Yeah.
They still got some Vassell, and I was kind of disappointed with Keldon Johnson, kind of took a step back, but still solid, still 15 points at least.
Yeah.
You got Sochan defensively. Like,
yeah. You get just like a few, more, like one co-star with one B, and just you're in that supporting cast with Pop.
Right.
Playing is not the picture.
Right. That's why I think they would add Trae in that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So you got the Bulls, I got the Hawks. But we'll see what happens with those matchups. That was the end of part two of our season four finale, 2024 playoff edition. Once again, I am your host, Stacey Carter II, joined by the Matt Huff. Follow us on social medias. Follow us on YouTube. Also, this week, we'll be launching the W Season Show exclusively on YouTube, talking about the WNBA. First episode, talking about the draft that just happened. I will be having a special guest. Also, people, I would like to announce this is our 100th episode uploaded of SOS. And this is how we're going to end season four. I want to thank everybody for being here for all 100 episodes. And hopefully we can do 100 more. Since it's the end of season four, we're going to, you know, still be in the mix of baseball. We're going to talk about the NBA NFL draft that's coming up. But to celebrate 100 episodes, we're going to have a documentary. And it's going to feature all of us there, because this show wouldn't be this show without all of us. Even though it's Stacey on sports, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my team. So get ready for the documentary, and also get ready for season five. Thank y'all very much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.